You're listening to Force of Badassery, where each week we talk to rule breakers, culture makers, and boss ladies about their path to success. I'm your host, Laura Khalil. I'm a women's empowerment champion and keynote speaker that teaches women like you how to speak up in those moments when all you really want to do is shrink and freeze, to become a more successful negotiator, advance your career in the direction you want, and build healthy relationships with men. Let's dive in. Everyone, welcome to this episode of Force of Badassery. I am so excited today because we have Samantha Schmuck in the studio with us. Samantha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's beautiful here.
Isn't it amazing? We're actually recording this episode from the She Hive, which is in Ferndale, Michigan. It is a female empowerment space, and we have this beautiful lounge area where we're hanging out. We'll probably take a photo of us in here and share that with you guys on social. But let me introduce Samantha. She is the founder of Revive Living, a health and lifestyle company, as well as Lead Like Ladies, a curriculum development company. Her mission was sparked through navigating her own personal challenges with health, mindset, and expression. Each of these areas have many subcomponents to them, but through working with hundreds of individuals and her own personal experience and training, she has found that health, mindset, and expression are the three crucial components to reviving your life. Yes! I really love that. And that's so timely because this episode is all about mindset. Now, we're recording this, what are we, January 15th here. Most people, I think, have stopped thinking about those New Year's resolutions, right?
Oh, yeah. I know it's crazy to say we're only 2 weeks in and a lot of people are forgetting those already, but if you think of just one day at a time, one day can feel like 3 days with just how much everybody has on their plates at this day and age. And so, yeah, by 2 weeks in, it's like, wait, what? New Year's, huh? Like,
yeah, what was I doing?
Yeah.
And why should I continue? And it's just sort of back to the norm.
100%.
Now, we met at Dames Collective, which is another group that you're also involved in. I mean, like, what do you not do?
It's busy these days.
Dames Collective is a women's empowerment group, and they have many chapters. You recently helped co-found a chapter here in Detroit.
Yes.
And you guys have these morning mind fuels, which I attended the last one. And what I loved about this was how you really got everyone in the room thinking about how to plan for the year ahead. And I love this exercise that you did because you can always go back to it in February, March, April, May, December, whatever, and sort of refocus yourself. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. That's the cool thing about mindset, I think, is it's not just an exercise that you do every once in a while, but it's something that you can do on a monthly basis, a quarterly basis, a weekly basis, a daily basis. And it's just to help refocus your attention. You know, as we were just saying, it's 2 weeks in, people are forgetting their resolutions. And so when we tune in and we kind of just redirect our mind, it gives us that space to say, what am I creating here? Is the direction that I'm heading in the most purposeful, positive, impactful direction that I can be heading in? Or am I needing to redirect? And so these can only help you both really tune in to see what are those feelings that I'm going after, as well as, okay, is this a big stretch for me? Is this a no-brainer for me? And kind of help you see where are you in regard to how far away that kind of goal point is.
How did you get into this? I'm so curious. Like, what? Where did this start? Because most people aren't thinking in that way.
Yeah, because we didn't really get to jam on this part.
Yeah, yeah. I want to share. I want to understand more of your story, and then I'd love if we went into this exercise.
Okay. So for me, mindset began when I was really young. I was a competitive gymnast, and I did that for 7 years. And so we would use visualization strategies to help us train and really improve our competition and just how focused our mind was. I always love to use the analogy with Olympics or professional athletes at that level. Talent and physical skill is very, very almost even at that point, but it's the way that you channel and train your mindset that helps give you that edge in the moment when there's all these distractions, like you've got the mental chatter, how can you really stay focused on the goal ahead of you? Which when you're an athlete, you need to be like laser focused.
That is wild. I don't know that I knew that about you. That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I have often heard of pro athletes using visualization and sort of visualizing the what they will be working through. Is that what you were doing?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you'd physically train your routines, but then they'd have you sit down for like 20, 30 minutes and just watch your routine through in your head. Feel all of your muscles flex. Feel what it feels like to wobble on the beam and restabilize yourself. And that way you're kind of training not only the mindset to not freak out in those moments where things aren't going your way, but also how can you really train that muscle memory ahead of time? So that way when you're in it, you can really just get into flow. You can release, oh, this needs to happen. This needs to happen. No, it's just game time. Everything's flowing the way that it needs to.
That's so cool. Are you still involved with gymnastics at all?
No, so that's like a whole nother story.
Do you want to tell us that story?
Sure.
Okay, what happened?
So when I was 12 years old, I got full body joint inflammation.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And so for about a year, I was going to see Larry Nassar, actually. He was my doctor.
Okay, I just got chills.
That's why I was like, it's a whole nother story. Thankfully, very, very thankfully, that was kind of at the tail end and I lived about an hour away, so I didn't see him too regularly. I'm very thankful that nothing ever happened the way that it happened to other women.
Thank God.
But yeah, he was my doctor, and so I was traveling up to see him in Lansing for about a year, and it started with pain in my wrist, and that's not uncommon for gymnasts. There's a lot of impact on our wrists, but then it was in my shoulders, and then my elbows, and then my hips, and then my knees, and then my spine, like every vertebrae, and just like to the touch, I would break out into tears. There was just so much inflammation
just
and pain.
Just touching you.
Yeah, it was ridiculous how I was able to do like so much. And then just like this one little tender touch. And it was
Wait a minute. Were you still competing?
Trying to. Yeah. So that last year I was getting cortisone shots and like all these different medicines, therapies to try to keep competing. And that's, you know, if you look into the sport of gymnastics, they're very dedicated. They will literally work through any injury. They will do whatever they need to do to keep competing. And so that's kind of just the mindset that everybody in that group is a part of. And so that was me. I was like, okay, well, I'm injured, but let me keep pushing through. Let me just find a solution. And they didn't find a solution. So finally, they had tested me for bone cancer. And they're like, we got nothing else to test you on. And so they just told me to rest. I rested for about 7 years. And that was...
Wow.
That's where I started dipping in and out of really bad depressions. And that's, you know, the other level of why mindset's so important to me.
Did you ever figure out what was causing this inflammation?
Not 100%, but when I was 19, I was down in chiropractic school. And I went to an acupuncturist, and she said that I was gluten and dairy intolerant. And so by cutting those two groups out of my diet, it helped really reduce inflammation. And so I still have a lot of it, and I can't do like CrossFit or really any high impact exercise. But I mean, I'm much more mobile than I used to be.
So you like more like yoga or Pilates or...
Mm-hmm. And that's why dance is really important to me, because it's fluid. It helps get your heart rate up. It kind of flexes those little delicate muscles and intricate muscles. But yeah, I know, because I love like a good workout. So it's a really big mind bend for me when it's like, yeah, no, that's not going to work out today.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wait, I just have to ask you, you must not have had any idea. Did you know what was going on with Larry Nassar?
No. And there was one memory when I was at a competition that I always kind of questioned, but I was in the middle of a competition floor. So I was like, he's a very high prestigious doctor. I'm in the middle of this floor. What could he possibly be doing that wouldn't be okay to be seen? So it's like I have this one memory that I've always questioned, especially once things started coming out about him. But I mean, I held him on a pedestal. I wanted to be the doctor on the Olympic team helping these girls, and like he was my example of why I wanted to do that.
What happened when you were in the middle of the floor?
He did this exercise where I was essentially laying on my back with one leg up. So I was kind of in like a split position. Mm. And he said that he had to adjust this one area that's very close to the region. And it's like, I guess by applying pressure, it helps click this one area back
so
into place.
So pressure in like the pubic area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But like with other girls, it was said that he like actually went inside them and was adjusting it, which did not happen on the floor. And thankfully that was kind of the tail end of when I last saw him.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That is really something.
Yeah, it was crazy when all that stuff started coming out about him.
Yeah, I believe it. How does it make you feel?
It was hard because I was living out of state at the time. And so I know the hardest part about it, obviously, was seeing all the other women come forward and then questioning my experience. And it was many years ago. So kind of thinking back, and did anything happen? Because I wasn't quite sure what was happening to the other girls. I just started hearing these things coming out about him. And so since I had that one memory, I didn't know if that was on the level or if he had really gone above and beyond, which he did. But the hardest part was my mom and the pain that she was going through, because she would go with me to the visits. And I guess these other parents would be in the room and he would kind of still do stuff
right
while these parents were in the room. And so I could see the pain she was feeling and how guilty she felt taking me to him. And we didn't know, like, everybody held this guy on such a high pedestal. And so the hardest part for me was seeing my mom, but her not knowing how to have the conversation with me about what really happened. And so finally when we talked and I was like, no, like, please don't beat yourself up for this. You could not have known. You did everything in your power to, you know, that's when the recession was happening. So my parents are small business owners, so there wasn't necessarily a ton of funds, and they were doing everything that they could to make sure I had the medical care and whatnot that I needed. And so, yeah, I just, seeing her pain, I think, was the hardest part about it.
Oh, gosh. I can imagine, because I think a parent would do anything to protect mm-hmm. their child from that if they knew it was happening.
Yeah.
And thank God it wasn't happening to you.
I'm so thankful.
Really, really amazing, considering what a monster he is.
Yeah.
Okay, well, on a brighter note, let's get back to talking about mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us a little bit, or maybe walk us through that exercise that you gave us at Dames Collective to really set the right intentions around your next 12 months ahead, mm-hmm. whether that's, you know, starting in January, whether that's starting in June. I'd love to give the audience that exercise so mm-hmm. that you guys can listen to it anytime you need it.
Anytime. All right, cool. So to begin with, I always love to make sure that your feet are flat on the floor. So you'll want to sit down because you want to be closing your eyes. Don't be standing up, or definitely don't be driving. Feet flat on the floor, and then just go ahead and slowly let your eyes come to a close. Start to just take some deep breaths in. Let it go. And just go ahead and start scanning through the top of your head all the way down to the tips of your toes. Simply noticing what sensations, what feelings are there. Notice if there's any tension, any constriction, anything that might be coming up in your body. Just notice it, acknowledge it, but approach it with curiosity, not judgment. Simply sitting with it. Might feel great, might feel energetic, expansive, and it might feel a little tired. Take some deep breaths. Allowing all that chatter, whatever you've got to do after this or what happened before this, just allow it to fade out into the distance. Allowing your attention to really center in. When you're ready, maybe on that next inhale, just allow in your mind's eye to zoom forward in time about 12 months. So right now we're in the beginning of January. So zoom forward to December 31st. And just start to look around. See where you are. Are you at home? Are you out and about? Are you maybe at a New Year's Eve party? And just notice who is around you. Are you surrounded by close loved ones, maybe a lot of people and strangers celebrating the time of year? Or maybe quietly resting at home before everything gears up. Start to tune in and notice what, if anything, feels different. What do you see, hear, feel around you that lets you know about 11 months of time has passed? 11 months of you showing up, 11 months of you stepping out of your comfort zone, 11 months of you taking tiny, tiny actions to build solid momentum into what you want to experience by the end of this year. Turn the dial up so you can feel it just ever so much more. See the colors become brighter, more vivid. Maybe hear the sounds turn up, maybe music playing in the distance. So imagine a mirror is placed in front of you. Notice who it is you see looking back at yourself. Notice how you did your hair that day, maybe what you decided to wear. See how, if at all, your style has evolved throughout the year as you've stepped more and more into the next level of yourself. Maybe see the corners of your lips turn up into a smile as you really just acknowledge all the shifts, all the change that had to happen this occur for you to step into this version of yourself. And as you look back at this version of you, notice, what, if anything, is this you most proud of yourself? What might you have had to do or let go of or said yes to? It's a little outside of your comfort zone, but you knew it was an effort to get you here. What are you most proud of yourself for this year? And as this version of you on December 31st, if you were to just kind of peek back over your shoulder at the you here today, mid-January, what advice would you give to the you here today from that future version of yourself? That you who's done it, who's gone there, who's stepped forward, who's chased their goals and made them happen. What would be helpful for the you here now in January to know to help you move forward? Confidence, ease, and excitement. Take a nice deep breath in. Big exhale out. Allowing that knowing to really sink into your bones, your cells, your very DNA. Turning the dial up so you can feel these sensations just ever so much more. Last deep breath in. And as you exhale, allow your mind to kind of rewind like an old VHS tape, seeing all the images of the year rewinding backwards until you reach about March. It's not fully back to present day, but about March. And just notice, in order to really go after that you that you see at the end of this year, what place do you need to be by the end of March? Allowing it to become a little bit tangible to the place that you're at today, but still a little bit of a stretch. You don't need to know full specifics, but just get a sense of how much are you needing to really step up by the end of this March to be on par with the big year goal. And just see if you can take three adjectives to describe your whole experience. If you were to really summarize that you at the end of March, what would be three adjectives that you'd use to describe that version of you? Is it bold? Is it playful? Is it expressive? Is it creative? Is it open? Is it willing? Just begin to get a sense of what are those three adjectives that you want to embody more of on a day-to-day basis. Take a nice deep breath to feel into them. When you have your three, either softly out loud or gently to yourself internally, just say, I am, fill in one of your adjectives. Do the second one, I am, and the third one, I am. And you can go ahead through one more time, all three together. I am, I am, I am. Feel that version of yourself really expand until your whole being is enveloped in these three adjectives that you had the full power to create and have access to at any time when you just tune into your breath, when you silence the chaos in your mind, and you start to slowly repeat, I am. Take one more deep breath in. Allow yourself to slowly come back to full present day back in January. Wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes, and gently open your eyes until you are fully, fully back.
That is so awesome. You're an amazing coach in terms of helping people walk through a visualization like that. And I wonder if part of that is because you've had so much experience with visualizations. But I love the cues that you give in that exercise.
Oh, thanks.
About like turning up the dial, mm-hmm. rewinding. It feels very real. I'm so curious. So first of all, I'm curious from our audience, if you guys want to share what happened to you in that experience and what your adjectives are, we'd love to hear what they are.
Yes.
Pop them in the comments around this podcast. Mine, so something really funny happened to me this time. The visualization at the end of December, I was kind of like New Year's is mm-hmm. what I was thinking. And at first it started like in New York and I was like smiling and with loved ones. I definitely got the sense of loved ones around me
nice.
And beautiful relationships around me. And then I found myself in Tokyo.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, how did this happen? I'm like, okay, Tokyo, maybe yes. I'm coming for you. I don't know. And when I looked in the mirror, it was so cool because the first thing I saw was just pure joy and my hands up in the air, like reaching for the sky.
Oh my gosh.
And it was just like such a cool, I looked really, really happy
mm-hmm.
and joyful and enthusiastic about life. And I was like, oh, that is such a cool feeling. Like, I want to remember that feeling
mm-hmm.
going through the day and through the weeks and months when things are so hard. My adjectives were a lot around being bold, mm-hmm. being persistent, and being unafraid.
Mm.
Because my experience has been that there is so much that stops us. And there are fears that we're not even fully conscious mm. of, or they don't like have
words
or like much form.
Totally.
I know when you and I met, we were talking a little bit about this, about people who say they really want to leave their full-time job, mm-hmm. and they almost make it like, it's like the thing that they talk about doing a lot, and it feels like a very productive thought, but they never actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you actually do it, when you actually overcome whatever that fear is, then you realize you're like, oh, shit. Now I actually have to really, really work at something like I've never worked at it before.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been your experience as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a whirlwind of feelings, emotions when you leave a part-time job. And just to really hit on something you just mentioned about the visualization and why I love them so much is it is hard day in and day out. And so to have that piece of that experience that you're like, oh yes, that's the reason why I'm going through this. That's why I want to be at Tokyo with my hands up, yeah. with just this joyous expression. Because each and every day, it's like, I know last week, I think, yeah, it was the day that you and I had connected, was I think maybe a 12, 14 hour day for me.
Mm.
And by the time I got home, I like sat with how many hours I had quote unquote worked. And I was like, today was a badass day.
Yeah.
Like today, I would not change the hours. Like I would not change anything about it because I was doing what I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was filled up at the end of the day. Like, yes, was I physically a little tired because it was a long day? 100%. But it was, I wouldn't want to do that same day working for somebody else.
That isn't that the truth? Like they always, there's always that old adage that like, oh, when you love what you're doing, you never work a day in your life. I mean,
you definitely work.
You definitely work. And you definitely, I think, work more and harder than you will work for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, you're really into what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel totally depleting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or rather, if it does feel totally depleting, I might look at like, why does this suck for you? Are you doing the right thing?
Oh, yeah. If you're doing your own thing and you absolutely hate it, we got to chat.
Yeah. Call Samantha. Okay. You need to talk. So you talked, you have three components. You said health,
mm-hmm.
mindset, and expression are the three crucial components to reviving your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the mindset part, or at least one part of mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about health?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, since I learned that I was gluten and dairy free, that changed a lot of my diet, obviously. But there was so much that I did growing up where I ate all my fruits and vegetables. I was obviously working out quite a lot, but all of a sudden I wasn't healthy. And so it was starting to see, okay, we've got to look at health a different way with how many chronic diseases that we have today. Like no matter how much information we have about health, no matter how many gadgets and tools, like we're getting sicker as a whole. And so trying to see what are those bare basics that no matter how busy we can do, we can start implementing. And then just finding, it's not about a diet, but it's saying, okay, look at even just our just recent conversation. We're entrepreneurs. We work a lot. We need to have energy. We need to have mental clarity. And so it's eating and moving our bodies in a way that really matches and helps our life rise to the next level. So it's not really about looking a certain way or, you know, being able to hit certain PRs in the gym. Like those are all icing on the cake if that's what you're looking for. But it's really about living your best life and making sure your body can sustain what you're wanting to do in this world.
What do you recommend, like, as for people who are like, okay, I hear you, what should I do? Or what do you recommend? Is it like listening to my body? Is it feeling how it feels? Mm. Is it staying hydrated? Is it reducing you know, processed food, or what would you recommend?
Yeah. Well, everything you touched on is fabulous. So.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yes. Everybody listen to Laura.
And we're done here.
Mic drop. Well, this Thursday, I'm actually releasing, I started being the wellness columnist for J'adore Detroit. So we've got 5 habits to master in 2019 coming out this week.
Excellent. And so we will post a link to their blog so you guys can check that out.
Sweet, sweet. So the 5 ones that I say we have to master, because just like athletes, you always got to come back to basics in order to go to those next skill levels. And so while we always, you know, we want to do the newest, coolest diet, all these different things, first, before you do any of that, just check and see how you're doing on these 5 habits and really get a sense of these before you try to add more and more into your already busy life. So the first one is making sure that you're drinking enough water. Because if we're not drinking enough water, we're not supporting our body in releasing toxins that it's naturally removing waste from the body. It gives us mental clarity. It makes sure that our muscles and joints aren't hurting or not cramping up all the time, as well as healthy digestion. So water is like an absolute must. Pure water, not tea, not coffee, not pop.
Fine.
I know. Fine. I know.
Oh, God. She got me. Okay.
So it's finding a way to drink water that feels good to you. But yes, pure water is the way to go. So that's one. Finding movement. I'm really passionate about doing 5 minutes of movement a day, no matter what space you're in. And that's kind of just a time to, again, check in with your body and see, have I been sitting at my computer all day? Do I need like expansion? Do I need high intensity because my mind just going crazy and I got to get out some of this really intense
and just
energy.
5 minutes. That's not a lot.
It's not a lot. And granted, like, would it be great to do at least 15 minutes a day? Yes. But I find by making sure like 5 minutes is 100% non-negotiable. Like if we're not doing 5 minutes a day, again, we need
like
to talk.
Anyone can do five mm-hmm. minutes.
5 minutes.
Truly.
That's stretching in the morning before you get going. That's stretching in the evening. It's stretching at your desk. Like just something to really tune in and move your body, because we sit in cars, we sit at desks, we sit at tables, we sit in front of the TV. Like we just sit so much. And that, if you think of having like a really long life where you're able-bodied, you're moving, you're not dependent on someone else to move you, you gotta start moving when you're young. Otherwise your body's gonna be like, yeah, I don't wanna do that. That's too much work.
Mm-hmm.
So we gotta move our bodies. Then we have mindfulness. And again, that's tuning in, that's getting curious about the conversations that you're having with yourself that, again, you might not realize you're having with yourself, as well as just being able to sense, like, what am I needing in any given moment? And we don't know that until we really start to tune in and practice mindfulness techniques. But then there's self-care, and that doesn't mean massages or anything like that. It could mean reading a book, could be sitting down and breathing. It might be going through that visualization that we did. But again, it's really just saying, wow, today was X. I need
you know
blank.
What? I have to chime in on that because mm-hmm. I think there are so many women who think that getting their nails done mm-hmm. is a form of self-care.
Mm-mm.
And I'm like, no, that's not. That's,
it can be, but
it
not
can
really.
Be. It can be, but it's not. Yeah, you're right. It's not really nourishing you in kind of like that way that you can go back mm-hmm. to the cup that you're filling. It's just sort of like, okay, that's a cute little thing. But you didn't really.
Mm-hmm.
That's my POV. The nail salons are never going to sponsor this show. They're like, we hate you. Come in and get your nails done, ladies. But okay, I'm sorry. I had to interrupt with that. And is there one more?
Let's see. It's water, movement, self-care, mindfulness.
But I think those are all pretty solid. Also, could the fifth one be about sleeping?
Pretty sure it probably is, which I need a little more of. But yeah, it's something that we're so chronically deprived of. Or yeah. We think we have to just like go until that minute before we go to bed. No, why am I not falling asleep? Why is my mind stirring? It's because we have to do proper techniques to fall asleep, and that 100% is the fifth term because one of the tips that I give on it is a power down hour, and that's saying if I'm wanting to be in bed almost or by asleep at 10:30, then by 9:30 I need to start getting off my phone, getting off the computer, either stretching, taking a bath, reading a paperback, something that gets us off of all of these technologies and starts winding our minds and our bodies down.
So we have health, mindset. Tell me more about, like, what does expression mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean in terms of reviving your life?
Yeah, well, for me, so I came up with this thing called the alignment grid. And for a long time, those 7 years where I was dipping in and out of depression, I realized it was because I was living incongruently with myself, but I didn't know how not to, you know, live the way that I was living. And so the way that I described it was I was living a big versus small life. I didn't want my parents to really understand what was happening. And, you know, after a couple of years, I didn't have broken bones. I didn't have surgery. Like, I didn't have physical indicators to other people of, hey, she's probably still in pain and things are difficult. Like, I didn't have that. So people started to not remember, or like, it just wasn't as in their periphery as it was in mine, because I was feeling the physical pain of it. And so I was trying to just pretend that I was happy, I was smiley, I had friends, I had good grades, I had a job.
Life is good.
Life's great. So on the outside, I was living this big quote-unquote life where it was, you know, everybody else's standards were being mm-hmm. met. But inside, like, I'd go home, I'd close my bedroom door, and, like, the facade would drop. Like, I would just, like, feel dead inside. And so I was like, what is going on? Like, why do I feel like I can't be myself? I don't know who I am. And, you know, I quit gymnastics when I was 12, where the whole 7 years before that, I was on someone else's schedule. I was doing what they told. Like, my life was dictated by what other people told me to do. Mm. And so by the time I got into junior high, I didn't know my voice. I was a really awkward, shy girl.
Yeah, you didn't know who you were.
Didn't know who I was. So my whole identity was really lost kind of overnight, leaving gymnastics because that was my friend group. Everything was at the gym.
Wow.
And now I was at home. I couldn't move. I couldn't exercise. Like, I just didn't know what to do with myself. So for me, expression is coming back into full alignment with yourself, where who you present yourself as on the outside is who you feel naturally you are internally, and where you're not feeling like you're in conflict of not fully living two different lives. Like, it doesn't have to be that extreme, but just somewhere deep within, you know, you're not playing out full out in the way that you know you could and want to be, but you're kind of living the shoulds, the have to's mm-hmm. of other people's standards.
Nobody likes to be shoulded upon.
Uh-uh.
I say it all
yep.
the time. And, you know, I love that you brought this point up, because I think there are so many people who are looking at what they think is someone else's life through Instagram or social media. And they're like, oh my God, their hair is perfect. Their makeup is perfect. They're wearing beautiful clothes and they look so happy and amazing and inspired. And I always say, that's just what they're showing you.
Totally.
You don't actually know what is going on with anybody. You know, sometimes, I mean, and I certainly include myself in this. Some of the hardest stuff that I've gone through in life, I'm very private about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like want to share it, or I'm not ready to share it,
mm-hmm.
Or it's too painful to share. And I think people don't realize, you know, everyone's going through something.
Oh,
nobody's
yeah.
life is perfect. And like, please give yourself a break.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just some of these things going on in social media feed into like feeling like, oh my God, I have to be,
mm-hmm.
I have to be so perfect.
Yeah. And it's really easy to get sucked into it. We don't even realize that we're getting sucked into it until we're just so down that path. We're like, everything in my life is horrible. Like, I should have done this direction, that direction. And it's really easy to get sucked into it. And that's, I think, Apple, like their newest version or something, but you can now track like how much you're on your phone and whatnot.
Yes.
It's so helpful just to get that sense of, wow, like, have I actually been living? Like, looking on the phone, like, it gives our body this weird sense and chemical endorphin release where you can lose so many hours and don't even realize that wasn't actually your life that you were living.
Right.
You know, that you were just sucked into this screen. And then it completely changes how you move into the next thing and the actions you take, how you feel about yourself, and it can perpetuate itself. So that's, again, why mindfulness and coming back to you and making sure you're acting from your wants and desires and needs and not, you know, it's especially parents, like, we're kind of getting out of that, like, with more and more generations. But like, my mom wanted me to be a doctor. She wanted me to be an MD for the life of her.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that wasn't the path for me. And so, like, how do you make sure you're living your life, going after the career you want, and not just doing it to make somebody else happy?
How have you done that?
Like,
so in the case of your mom,
mm-hmm.
where she's saying, okay, I want you to go and become a doctor, how do you find the courage to say, you know what, that's your dream, that's not mine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a great question. I went to photography school, so I went to art school.
You're just like, no.
Yep, I was like, let me do the complete opposite of what you want. But I did. I went to photography school at first to get away. Like, so right when I was 18, I left. I went to college. And because I felt like there at home, there was not at physical home, but just in my hometown, there were too many reminders of the me that I didn't like. And the me playing small, the me that didn't have a voice, the me that felt scared to speak up and not be heard. And so I was like, I have to get out. And so not necessarily photography school was the best path to do that, but it was a start. It was where I was, what choice I made. But I think what it boiled down to for me was just knowing so deep down that there was nothing within me that could, like, create the gumption to follow through with it.
Yeah.
Because, like, schooling is hard. Could I have done it? Yes. Like, I'm smart. But I knew so much of me would have just dreaded the experience that I just wouldn't have made it. And at that point, I was teetering in and out of suicide.
Oh my gosh.
And so I knew something told me to stay, to not take that path, but I didn't know why. And so, like, that choice didn't feel good to me. I knew deep down it wasn't the choice and that she needed to trust me, that she wouldn't know why I was doing what I did, that she was acting out of love. So I really, positive intentions is what I teach my clients about a lot. That every single situation, whether it's good, bad, that, the other, there's a positive intention. If it wanted something for you, what could it be? And so especially with parents, we really look at that as, what was that intention? She wanted me to have a good job. She didn't want me to struggle financially the way that they may have in certain times. That was like the stable career choice for them. So I honored that's what she was wanting.
She wants
deep down for me. and that I had to pursue this path. I didn't even know what this path fully was. But that one day she'd understand. And I remember probably about a year ago, she said, "You're right, I didn't understand, but now I do." And that was a really big moment.
Mm-hmm. That must have felt really amazing for you to hear.
It did. Yeah, it was a really big one because for so long I felt like I was trying to prove this career path, prove what it could become. Because health coaching, it wasn't a thing when I graduated and got my bachelor's in it. And then, like, every step, it was just so new and out of the norm from the career path that they knew of that I had to just say, keep trusting me, trust me. Mm-hmm. And finally, she's like, okay, I get it.
You know, I mean, that's amazing because I think I had similar experiences with my parents, and I think a lot of people do. I would say, I think our parents are only able to dream as big as they've gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, and just like even in our peer groups, I mean, if your peer groups have not ascended to a place where you want to be or mm-hmm. where you want to go or aspire to take yourself, it's really hard to, you know, you're surrounded with people who, while their intentions are great,
mm-hmm.
they don't know how to help you even get there. So they usually just dismiss that thought.
100%.
They're like, that can't happen because look at our lives. We didn't do that. My dad was the same way. He came from Egypt and he wanted me to become, you know, most Egyptians, I'm going to just generalize, are doctors, lawyers, or engineers. That's kind of, if they've made it out of the country and they've been quote unquote successful,
mm-hmm.
it's in one of those paths. Okay. And you look at their kids, and their kids are doctors, lawyers, and engineers. And my dad was like, you're going to become a lawyer. You love to argue.
Love it.
And I was like, no, I'm not. I don't want to do that. I have no interest in law. I have no interest in reading dry legal, whatever, legalese, or working on it. That's not where my life is going. And so then I got into the corporate world. And my dad was like, okay, now what you have to do is you just have to get a job and stay there forever. Because that's what he did.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're always trying to teach you what they've learned as a way of keeping you safe. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you have to let me go to allow me to spread my wings and fly.
Mm-hmm.
And he has said to me, similar to your family, he has said, I'm really, like, so amazed at what you've done.
Aww,
and good. It's great because, you know, our parents, they want the best for us, but they sometimes can't dream as big as we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, you hit such a important point, and whether it's parents, friend groups and whatnot, but we all have that reptilian part of our brain, that old part of our brain that strictly governs out of keeping us loved, keeping us safe, and keeping us having a sense of belonging. Like, that is what that brain, like, all it focuses on doing and making sure. So anytime we try to step out of that to do something new, to
danger.
Create new fun, danger. And it rebels, it sabotages, and it will go to, like, really uncomfortable lengths to make sure that you stay where you are, even though where you are doesn't feel comfortable. It's more comfortable than the unknown to that part of your brain. And so whenever you feel that kind of, like, flexing, pulling you back, that rubber band snapping back into place, just get curious and say, where does love, safety, or belonging feel threatened in my life right now? And really just get curious with it. Don't get mad at it, because it's out to save you. Like, it's funny, because it's that old part of your brain that's like, oh, is there a lion around? Like, we don't have those dangers anymore, but it's still, our biology and our wiring is still very similar to hundreds of years ago.
You said, where do I, ask yourself, where do I feel loved?
Love, safety, or belonging at risk?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is such a great question.
Mm-hmm. It opens up a lot. And it really just, whenever you're having that fearful moment, whenever just anything you're not able to move forward because you're feeling stuck, that's a great place to get started and say, okay, what's actually happening here? And again, just take that curious explorer hat, put it on. And again, that's the part of taking a step back from your mindset as opposed to living in reaction for what your biology is telling you is happening.
Get curious.
Mm-hmm. Changes everything.
I really love that. That is, boy, there's just so much here to hit on. How many hours do we have? So Samantha, you have some really cool stuff coming up. I know that you're starting this virtual co-working space. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. So the virtual co-working space is through my company, Lead Like a Lady. And that is where every single week on Mondays, these group of women come together. They all work solopreneurs. They work at home. But it's saying, okay, being an entrepreneur can be really difficult. There's a ton of life distractions that can slow us down in our business because we feel like we have to do them because we're at home. And, you know, if we're at home, we should be doing these things. And so it's making sure that 1 hour a week, non-negotiable, you're moving your business forward, particularly for new business owners. It can feel like you're in a traffic jam going start, stop with your momentum.
Totally.
As opposed to when you hit that like 10 mile an hour, you're like, I don't even care how fast I'm moving, but I'm moving consistently. So that's really,
you're actually like in a motorized like chair, barely moving down the street, but it's going.
But
and
it's
you're
going.
Like, ride this, ride it. Yeah,
exactly. So true. And so that's really where I wanted to create a space where every single week, you weren't allowing your mindset to get in the way and to like be like, you really shouldn't be doing this. Like, we don't have, when you're starting a new business, like you said, sometimes you're working harder than you've ever worked before. You're putting yourself out there more than you've ever done before. And you need a group of people who are also doing it with you. So that way you're like, okay, yes, like again, and like just getting used to that consistency is key.
The hardest thing I found being an entrepreneur, my first foray into it was in 2011, mm-hmm. and I lasted like 3 months, and I got so burned out and lonely that I just went back to full-time work because I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And I think having a community to go to and be with and just say, hey, I'm going through this. Does anyone have a suggestion, or have you overcome it?
Mm-hmm.
And what's coming up for you? Like, even hearing from people what's coming up for them can help you prepare for when you may hit the same thing.
Exactly.
Right. And they're like, okay, I knew that would be coming because that happened to so-and-so. And mm-hmm. like, this is just like how business goes, growing mm-hmm. pains go. So I love that. How can people learn more about this?
They can head to leadlikeladies.com, and that's where they can learn more about, it's called the Leading Ladies Alliance, so they can learn more about it there.
Okay, and guys, if you are curious, I'm going to be in the co-working space mm-hmm. on February 18th, and here's what you're going to be able to do at that point. If you're curious to ask me any questions about how I've worked with corporations, some of the biggest lessons I learned along the way early on. If you want to hear that type of stuff that, frankly, I don't think people at the level that I've was able to build my business talk about very openly, I'm actually going to be talking about it within the co-working group February 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So you can ask any questions you want. If you have questions that you want to ask, shoot me an email, shoot me a Facebook message. Can they ask them elsewhere on your site or on Instagram?
Yeah, they can definitely ask them on Instagram. That'd probably be the best.
Okay, and on Instagram. And I will drop all those links in the show notes. That's your opportunity to really learn more. Take it.
That is huge access of information that you're opening up.
Yeah, it is. And you know, when I work with clients one-on-one, it's hundreds of dollars an hour to get the information privately from me, Or you can just go and ask away on February 18th. And if you ask your questions in advance, then I can prepare really great answers for you with resources and other cool stuff to share. Yes. So I encourage you to do that.
We're so excited to have you in there.
I can't wait. What else? Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience before we go?
Oh, goodness.
Can you believe it's already been an hour?
I was like, it's got to be something because we've been chatting. But yeah, we've gotten to cover a lot of cool ground. Yeah. And the only thing that I would really say to leave everyone with is, now's your time. Like, there's no time like the present. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, which is, you know, it's not a fun fact to think about, but really the only thing guaranteed in this life is death. So,
And taxes.
There
well,
we go.
Actually, maybe not with the government shutdown. I'm sort of hoping we don't have to pay taxes. I'm like, there's nobody there. We're just going to skip a year, but okay,
year
maybe
for
not.
The history books.
Exactly.
But yeah, there's not too much guaranteed in this life. And so, you have your dreams, you have your vision, you have that feeling that's been sowed in your heart for a reason. So whether it's in a small way, a big way, take action on it this year and just see what you can create and see what it feels. And if it feels good, keep taking steps. If it doesn't, tune in, get curious, and ask yourself what else is wanting to come forward.
I love that. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
So excited for my year ahead and for your year ahead. Maybe we'll do a recap at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, and see what happened.
There we go.
All right.
I'm down.
Thanks, guys. We will talk to you later.